I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Nothing to incentivize more illegal immigrants. I can't think of a worse idea than to give people legal status. Right now, legalizing people incentivizes more people to come. Maybe I'll be in the next wave of DACA. No legalization, secure the border to get money for Ukraine, to get money for Israel, and to help Taiwan. Secure the border before we get attacked. Secure the border before the next terrorist attack happens. Yes. The director of the FBI said since October the 7th, a rogues gallery of terrorist groups are urging their members and people who are sympathetic to their cause to attack America.
And they are talking about attacking America. We have pointed this out numerous times before. We have numerous hundreds of Chinese military-age men coming across the border, often not through the normal checkpoints, but what they are doing is basically gathering and crossing at night, trying to remain undetected. Why would they do that? Because they're not coming here really for asylum, to get away from the Chinese dictatorship. They're not coming here for just a new life. They're coming here, obviously, on orders of China, because if that many men were missing from China, despite the billions they have in that nation, they would know they're missing, and they would be going after their families and making their families pay extensively with their lives as to why they are doing this. You were listening then to South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham pointing out that we have at this point basically more opportunities coming for more illegals to come in. And it's not just illegals, it's a rogues gallery of terrorists, according to the FBI Director Christopher Wray. At least he can acknowledge that, but cannot tell you how many or in this country that have come in illegally, nor how many are actual threats, known threats, and he cannot or will not say we know where they are. If you listen to him, I don't know anything about anything, anywhere, but beware is a threat. Thank you, FBI Director Wray, for giving us that heads up. What you're doing about it is what's causing the additional alarm. And, of course, you're under the thumb of this Biden administration. Everyone from the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice, including the Attorney General, not one of them is standing up for the Constitution and the law of the land. And they claim that Trump would be a dictator. All Trump said is, when I first get in, I will be a dictator for the first day. By that, he's talking about, I'll wipe out everything that Biden has screwed up. We'll get the Keystone Pipeline back up. We'll definitely shut the border. We'll go back to remain in Mexico policy while you're seeking asylum here. Biden did those, everything I just elaborated for you, he did them on day one when he was in office as a, quote, dictator. No, it was by executive order, which he's allowed to do. I didn't call him a dictator the day he did it. I called him stupid for it, but not a dictator. But now the Trump comes in and reverses everything Biden signed into executive order. That makes him a dictator. All right, well, let me try to set the stage for us. Here we are, December 8, 2022, second hour of Larry Connors USA. We're here every night for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m., and while on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch. Glad to have you watch and engage with us via your television, your Twitter account, however you choose to do it, at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, or Rumble accounts on each of those or many other places. We're glad to have you watching, listening. If you miss anything and you want to go back and pick it up, simply go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. So here was Senator Graham talking about, we have this administration wanting more illegals to come in. Here's the crucial point that we see we're facing at this point with this administration. We have had the House approve $14.5 billion to go help Israel. That has still not been sent to Israel. Because Chuck Schumer, even though he's a Jew and demanded we need that money for Israel ASAP, as soon as he got it, he said, this is not a serious bill. Why? Well, because it does not include money for Ukraine. It does not include money we want for Taiwan. It does not include money we want for the border. And that is not going to be money to enhance border security. I'll tell you how it's to be used in a moment. But the bottom line is, Graham made it clear the other day, we are holding our arms locked together. We will not yield on this. You get none of this money, that includes to Ukraine, until you absolutely close the border and you protect the American public. Tucker Carlson put out on his Twitter account yesterday, the Biden, and I'm reading directly from that account, the Biden administration is openly threatening Americans over Ukraine in a classified briefing in the House yesterday. That would have been a couple days ago. Stating, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin informed members in this classified briefing that if they do not appropriate more money for Zelensky, Ukraine, we will, quote, send your uncles, cousins, and sons to fight Russia. They think that that's going to basically make Republicans cave because Biden will then try to, through the Department of Defense, find some way to put U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine because we're not sending them money. That's a direct threat from the Defense Secretary to members of Congress, according to Tucker Carlson. I don't know where he got his source. I don't know, actually, if it's correct or not, but that is what Tucker Carlson put out as a tweet. Basically, he summed it up, pay the oligarchs or we'll kill your kids. If the Defense Secretary made such a statement, even in a closed-door briefing, one, we shouldn't not be aware of what he did say. But if he said that, I'm damn glad somebody came out and said, you won't believe what the Defense Secretary Austin just threatened us with if we don't give more money to Ukraine. And then Biden wants to open our U.S. border deeper south than just where it's drawn on the map that we now have as representing the southern border of the United States. The Biden administration has been doing this for about 3 years now, trying to make sure the American borders remain open. And now we know that it wants to open Latin American borders as well. The Guatemalan president says that he had asked the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and Secretary of State Blinken about help in closing Guatemala's border with El Salvador and Honduras to help shut off illegals coming from those countries or further south or from somewhere else to get there, coming into Guatemala, migrating north to us. Give us some help to help shut our border. Well, what did Mayorkas and Blinken do? They turned him down. They turned him down. Guatemalan officials are now being quoted to the Heritage Foundation that they claim the DHS lacked resources necessary to assist Guatemala. In the meantime, Joe Biden has embraced leftist president-elect Arevalo, scheduled to take power in January, and he has no plan to pursue border security proposals for Guatemala. In other words, they're going to now begin to encourage passage through Guatemala to get to Mexico and our southern border. And in fact, they'll probably set up, that's how they would use the money, set up stations down in that part of the hemisphere and say, we'll process you here in Guatemala. So when you get to the U.S., you're already approved to go into the U.S. Graham says we need to go back to what Donald Trump had in place. Stay in Mexico.
The first thing you need to do to stop the flow or slow it down is make sure that people waiting for the asylum hearing are not released into the country, because that incentivizes people to come, because once they get released, the belief is you're never going to go back. Stop paroling people en masse. 240,000 people were given blanket parole under a statute that requires an individual analysis based on substantial benefit to the country or undue, unusual humanitarian need. Quit abusing the law. He could do both of those things without one bill being passed, has been said. He's chosen to let people loose in the country. He's chosen to abuse the parole law, and his choice has led to a broken border with elevated terrorist threats. Joe Biden has been asleep at the wheel when it comes to the border. You need to wake up, Mr. President, before we get hit.
We are going to be hit. It's no longer a matter of if terrorists are going to carry out some kind of action inside our nation. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Thank you, Joe Biden and administration. In the meantime, Israel continues efforts to clean Gaza of Hamas terrorists.
An operational update. IDF troops continue intense close-quarter combat with Hamas terrorists in Khan Yunis and in the north as we continue to dismantle the Hamas terror state. Over the past day, the IDF has struck around 450 targets in the Gaza Strip from the air, sea, and land, with the Israeli Navy using precise ammunition to strike Hamas naval forces. Israeli forces continue to expose Hamas's crimes against humanity as Hamas embeds itself and its terror infrastructure in civilian areas as part of its sick human shield strategy. Just minutes ago, we revealed that the IDF struck Hamas terror infrastructure inside the Al-Azhar University in Rimal. They found an underground tunnel that went from the yard of the hospital for a whole kilometer till it popped up inside a school.
Popped up in a school. Hamas has had 15 years to be doing this in Palestine. I should say in Gaza, in the midst of the Palestinian citizens. They were controlled by the PLO under Yasser Arafat. They held an election, and then Fatah took over, and then they were displaced by Hamas. But they all had the same goal of destroying the Jews and wiping out Israel. And as you heard in that report from an IDF spokesman, we continue to document the horrific crimes of rape that have been carried out. And there's been speculation that we're not going to see any more hostages released, at least of women, because they will also tell some of these horrifying stories. In the meantime, we've got the United Nations today dealing with Article 99 of the UN Charter. The UN Secretary General Guterres raised that, saying, we need to deal with Article 99. It is a tool to push for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Well, immediately, of course, Israeli diplomats are upset with it, and they're fighting against it, arguing we need to continue the offensive in Gaza to eliminate Hamas. But, of course, what you're hearing from PLO sympathizers and Hamas sympathizers and anti-Semitic hatred groups, Gaza and Palestinians are being murdered by Israelis. That could stop today, if Hamas would say, we're going to let all Palestinian civilians leave. It'll just be us here. We will not use them as shields, nor hostages. That's not going to happen. And in the meantime, the IDF reports we're getting more threats from the north.
IDF fighter jets and helicopters struck a number of Hezbollah terror targets in Lebanon used to commit attacks on our soil. We repeat, Israel does not seek a war on two fronts, and we are working to deter any further aggression by Hezbollah. But if Hezbollah chooses to drag Israel into a full-scale war, Israel will hold the state of Lebanon responsible with all attendant consequences.
All attendant consequences, in fact, pointing out, Lebanon, you will become a target if those rockets continue to rain down on Israel. We'll hold you responsible because you're not stopping them. That is why Egypt and a lot of the other Arab nations do not want the Palestinians in their communities, their countries, because in their midst they know there will be Hamas terrorists who will try to continue to carry out their acts of terrorism. Hezbollah is doing it from the West Bank and Lebanon and other places. And in Yemen, we got the Houthi rebels doing the same thing. They're all trying to destroy Israel. And the Security Council meets on an emergency meeting to look at Article 99 for the seventh time in the UN's 78-year history. Last time it was used, 1989, when then-Secretary General Cuellar urged the Security Council to call for a ceasefire during the Lebanese Civil War. And already in a response to this, we're seeing members of not only the Security Council, but the UN siding up either with or against Israel, and many of them are taking the side of, well, the bombing has to stop, because civilians are being killed. That's not the intent. That is not Israel's intent. It is Hamas's intent to place those civilians in front of them as shields, and the same with the hostages. But the IDF says October 7 will not go unanswered.
The October 7th massacre was an act of genocide perpetrated with Nazi-like cruelty and Nazi-like efficiency in the service of a Nazi-like ideology that seeks the sadistic murder of every Jew in this land and on this earth. And ever since Hamas's death squads retreated back into the Gaza Strip, having murdered 1,200 people and taken 250 people hostage, it has been threatening to do it all over again. On October 7th, Hamas sought to destroy the people of Israel in part, and it now seeks to destroy us in whole. The people of Israel know why we are fighting. Never again means now.
Now. And when World War II was ending and was over, and American and Allied forces moved in and began to see the concentration camps at Dachau and elsewhere, the extermination camps, we were horrified and said, if only we had known, and all vowed, never again. But we have too many that either don't know the history or don't care, or actually are all good with destroying Israel and Jews. The Ivy League college president's stupidity was on display in Congress this week. One was the president of Harvard. My next guest graduated from Harvard. What is John LeBoutier's reaction? You're going to love this one. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
I have a great whiskey suggestion. Stolach Whiskey, created using natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Next time, get a bottle. But if you're going to share with friends, you better get at least two bottles. Stolach has the Larry Connors seal of approval. See the full story at Stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted as an individual. Targeted as at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism? I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric.
And is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation, that is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board.
That was New York Congresswoman Stefanik in questioning the Harvard College president, Claudine Gay, and also the MIT college president and University of Pennsylvania, and they all had similar remarks. It depends on the context. Well, now Claudine Gay is trying to walk it back. She, in an interview with the Harvard Crimson, stated, "I am so sorry. Words matter. When words simplify or amplify distress and pain, I don't know how you could feel anything but regret." She's trying to hang on to her J-O-B. My guest is John LaBoutière, former New York congressman, came in during the Reagan years. Never Trumper, but also wrote the book, Harvard Hates America. John, what's your response to the response we were getting from members of Ivy League colleges?
Well, you know, Larry, that woman, President Gay, should have slapped her hand down on the table and said, "I've made it very clear up at Harvard. I'll make it clear to you, Congresswoman. Anybody on the Harvard campus who calls for genocide of Jews or anybody else, but you call for genocide, you'll be forcibly removed from the Harvard campus, And if you're a student, you will not only be expelled from the school, but you will be expunged. And expunged means there's no record that you ever attended Harvard or that Harvard even knows of you. Well, like, you laugh.
No, I mean that is a powerful thing to take away, because they love to say, I'm a Harvard grad.
Well, they won't be able to. When I went to Harvard, first week, freshman orientation, they took all the freshmen into a place called Sanders Theater, where the dean of freshmen addressed you and told you, here's what you're going to run into, here's how to behave, blah, 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 all that stuff. And one of the things he said was, there are certain rules around here that if you break them, one of them is cheating and this and that, you won't just be expelled. You'll be expunged. And no one knew what that word meant. And we all run back to our rooms and get our Webster's dictionaries out, look it up. And what it means is your entire being is it's like you never were there. There's no record of you being admitted, attending, going to class. You're gone. You don't exist.
Well,
he should have done it. They ought to do it. The president of Penn, who you just mentioned in the list of people who testified, they are today about to fire her for her performance on Tuesday in Congress. And
that's correct, because a founder, or rather a major donor, says, I'm going to pull $100 million if you don't get rid of that woman. Then if you do, maybe I'll go ahead and give you the money. In other words, she's pleading for her job and also doing her best with another pathetic, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. They're Ivy League college presidents, John.
Yeah, and you're right. They're trying to keep the job because the job pays big bucks. And, you know, it shows, and I sort of feel vindicated about Harvard Hates America, which came out, Larry, 45 years ago.
Yeah, you were right on target.
I think I was a little bit, yeah, I was on target. But here's the thing. Now, there's this great group called Accuracy in Media, which was started years ago by Reed Irvine, trying to make the media out to show them how liberal they really are, and they certainly are. And they put a truck out in Cambridge with two sides with pictures of the students at Harvard who were leading the charge against Israel, against Jews in general, and anti-Semitism and all that. And these students had their pictures, their face pictures, plastered on the side of this truck. And on the lower right-hand corner, it says, HarvardHatesJews.com. Hmm. And last week, they started one at Yale, YaleHatesJews.com. And I feel very proud that they're using my little title.
I do too. I'm glad that it's being called out. Let me give you there's another remark that Gay made. Again, this is the president of Harvard, and one of her remarks saying, trying to clarify what she had said in front of Stefanik, which was blah, 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 we don't recognize it unless you actually commit the act. In other words, if I went around hollering out, let's kill all LGBTQ, you couldn't do anything to me unless I actually start doing it. Her remarks in response to clarification, I got caught up in what had become at that point an extended combative exchange about policies and procedures. What I should have had presence of mind to do was return to my guiding truth, which is that calls for violence against our Jewish community, threats to our Jewish students, have no place at Harvard. I failed to convey what is my truth.
I'm going to swear on your show if I'm not careful.
By all means.
But no, I mean, it's just bull. But here's the thing. This incident of the calling for genocide happened weeks ago.
Yeah.
This isn't like it happened in the hearing on Tuesday. It happened weeks ago, and she and these other presidents have done squat about it, which brings me to where I went to boarding school. I went to boarding school in North Andover, Mass, from 1967 to 71, an all-boys boarding school, right during the height of Vietnam, drugs, and all that. And the headmaster one day walks into the assembled school where we met every day, and he said, some student has written the word revolution on a chalkboard in an empty classroom. He said, if I find out who wrote it, or if anyone else writes it, Their bags will be packed, and they will be out on the Great Pond Road at the entrance of our school within 30 minutes, never to return. And that scared the you-know-what out of every one of the 240 kids at that school. And that's what needs to happen at these Ivy League schools. I'm all, and you are too. We're all into free speech, and we're all into free ideas and arguing and debating. That's great stuff, okay? But it really comes up to a line. There is a line where calling for the killing of Jews, especially after the Holocaust, for God's sakes, and which we fought to stop in right. World War II. My uncle, after whom I'm named, died in that war. It was in the whole World War II. He was shot down and killed. I mean, enough is enough. I don't want to hear it. You know, if you want to say this, get off my campus and go away.
Good.
Excuse my English.
No, I'm going to accept your English. I'm going to accept your English. How we got to this point, following you, I've got some clips I'm going to air with North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox talking about this university decay didn't just happen overnight. It's the moral rot. And your book 45 years ago,
you began to lead to it.
And exactly how it says festered and boiled to this point.
Here's the thing. Harvard Hates America was about my time as an undergraduate at Harvard during the Vietnam. Well, yeah, it was the 70s is when I was there. So it's the end of the Vietnam War. And this thing now is about killing Jews. That thing was about how the Harvard establishment, frankly, hated you, Larry. They hated middle America. They hated traditional American values. They didn't like it. They liked communism, socialism. And their heroes were Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, Patty Hearst, all that crap. And I wrote about it because it shocked me. I didn't expect that at Harvard.
Now, the other thing that came out of this the other day, I've got a couple points I want to go through. One is they were asked specifically about the, don't you think the chant from the river to the sea, Palestine be free, you don't see that as a call for genocide? And, well, each of the presidents said, I might have heard it, and almost like, I don't know if I really know and understand. I mean, again, they're absolutely clueless. But if you had shouted, and called the Harvard president, who's a black woman, so I'm entitled to call you a N-word because I don't like you, would that be violation of your moral code?
Right. So let's just say we organized a demonstration in Harvard Yard outside Harvard Hall, where the president of Harvard's office is, and we got 300 students out there and had them, and I'm just saying hypothetically, had them chanting, fire the N-word.
Yeah, yeah. Or start hanging nooses. Put nooses in trees around Harvard. You know what that would indicate.
So to me, all of it's out. I don't want any of it.
I agree.
I don't want any of it. Because once you open the door to have some of it, which is what they've done, you're going to get the extremes, which all of this is. And it's all bad. And they got to clean these places up. And I don't know that they're going to accept money. That's the thing. UPenn, having that guy withdraw $100 million, is the tip of the iceberg. There are going to be others or have been at each of these schools who say, you know what? I'm not giving any more money. And that will wake these places up. And President Gay, who was a professor, they elevated her to be president because they wanted to show how diverse.
Yes, DEI all over again.
We have a black woman as our president, which on its surface is fine by me. It's not her color or her gender that should be. It's what she stands for.
That is why KJP is. That's why KJP is a White House spokeswoman. John, I have a lot more. We're going to have to book you for another time very soon. John Laboutière.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is News Talk STL.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield is so luxurious you might think you have to be a member. You don't, but you will quickly see why Lit won the 2023 Riverfront Times Best Smoking Lounge, Best Smoke Shop for the second time in a row. Quality cigars, premium drinks. So join me at Lit, just off 40 in the district at Chesterfield. For special events, entertainment, always check the website, litstl.com. litstl.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The anti-Semitism we've seen and on your campuses didn't come out of nowhere. There are cultures at your institutions that foster it because you have faculty and students who hate Jews, hate Israel, and are comfortable apologizing for terror. How did your campuses get this way? What is it about the way that you hire faculty and approve curriculum that's allowing your campuses to be infected by this intellectual and moral rot?
Excellent question. Excellent question posed by a member of Congress, North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox. She was addressing the same college university presidents that were in front of Stefanik, pointing out, how did you get to this point? We know, we really know, don't we? Because they continued to bend their morals and basically bow down before the altar of the woke culture and enforce, as you were hearing my guest just a moment ago, John Labutiere, who wrote the book, Harvard Hates America, more than 40-plus years ago. He said, it was evident to me then, and it's just been fostering and festering like an untreated wound, getting worse. You should have cut off the leg, but now it's reached into the heart. And only then, yesterday, this week, was it exposed as Stefanik questioned them over and over again, do you not consider the chant from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, an attack upon Jews threatening them, and does that not violate your school code of conduct? Ah, it depends upon the context. And every one of them had the same answer. North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox said, how are you hiring staff and faculty that end up replicating that? That is because they use DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. The very thing that my guest a moment ago, John Louboutier, pointed out, that is why Claudine Gray, or Gay rather, a black woman who was a professor, is now the president. And I say is now. If you're listening to me now, tomorrow she might not be, because already there's a backlash building against her. A House Committee on Education announcing an official investigation into anti-Semitism at Harvard, and Rabbi David Wolpe resigning from an advisory group created at Harvard to tackle threats against Jews that the Harvard president established in November. Of course, that was after the October 7 attack. And the rabbi said, I'm out of here. You are not making the point that needs to be made. A statement from two others that are questioning Gay's comments and her ability to lead Harvard, claiming that her failure to condemn anti-Semitic speech adequately calls into question her ability to protect Jewish students on Harvard's campus, adding that President Gay's testimony fails to reassure us that the university is seriously concerned about the anti-Semitic rhetoric pervasive on campus. When she and the other professors, I should say presidents, of MIT and University of Pennsylvania were asked about the slander and the slur, the slogan, from the river to the sea, they said, well, you know, we've heard it. It doesn't necessarily mean that. It's just kids, you know. That's what they're trying to say. And yet in the midst of their rallies that were on campus, some were holding support Hamas signs, knowing the torture and the repeated raping of some of the victims they took hostage, and the death, the attack on civilians. And I remind you again that particularly with Harvard President Gay being a black woman, if there were those out in the streets, and as my guest suggested, you know, start talking about fire that N, referring to her, using the N-word, would that violate the code, or would that have to be taken into context? Well, I guess if she got fired, then there's your context. Yeah, that violated it. What if they said shoot or hang? The response of these leaders of higher education now want to make some apology. I told you earlier that the Harvard president is trying to say, well, I got caught up in a combative exchange. It was no combative. She was being asked, does that violate your code? A simple question. All you had to say, yes or no. She wouldn't answer except to say, it depends on the context. Listen, I understand those who like essay questions versus a specific yes, no, pick number one, two, or three. I understand, because if I didn't know anything, but I could answer with an essay, I took the essay route. Because I could BS my way around a paper, make it so thick, they get tired of reading it and give me an A anyway. I know how to work that system. And then you get the Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania donor says, I'm going to pull $100 million that was going to help you establish a financial innovation center because I'm appalled by the university's stance on anti-Semitism on campus. And adding that Penn's, quote, permissive approach to hate speech, calling for violence against Jews, and a laissez-faire attitude toward harassment and discrimination against Jewish students would violate any policies or rules that prohibit harassment and discrimination based on religion, including those at my company. I told you that this has been building for a long time. That was the whole, entire point of the question or the statement from the North Carolina Congresswoman Fox. I've shared with you before, and I'm going to do it again. If you're hearing it repeated, bear with me, because some might not have. My grandson, one of them, I was asking him, he's a junior in school now, what do you think about colleges? This was some months ago, and he was saying, well, I was thinking I might go to the University of Texas, Papa. I said, you don't want to go there. He said, well, why not? That's, you were born in Austin. The University of Texas is in Austin. I said, no, you don't want to go there. I said, remember last year you were the one going around campus wearing a hat, reading, Let's Go, Brandon? You would not survive the University of Texas now. University of Texas started out with a good, solid underpinning, but then they thought, to raise our elite status, let's bring in some Harvard professors and other Ivy League professors, like from MIT, and it will make us seem to be more vibrant and more worthy and equal to an Ivy League school. Well, all of those professors came down throughout the years, bringing their baggage of crud and CRAP with them, and bringing others to follow after them, till they entirely changed not only the university, but the city of Austin. Used to be a beautiful place. Talked to someone who was there just 2 days ago. Said it's filthy and there are vagrants everywhere, sleeping out on the street. That's because the city council is blue. They voted to defund the police. They voted to just do nothing about the sleepless. But if you're illegal, we'll find housing for you. And then I did tell my grandson, I said, your bigger issue is going to be, if you go to University of Texas, is your cousins, all three of them, went to A&M, which hates University of Texas, and you're going to have to explain to them because they're going to whip your butt. But, unfortunately, there are cracks beginning to appear in Texas A&M. That they have also thought, well, we better get on the DEI woke wagon. Parents, grandparents, check where your kids are going to school or plan to go to school. Make sure you want them to be indoctrinated like this. And certainly consider the money you're going to spend for such a indoctrination, not education. And if they're already there, I have one who had his daughter go to Georgetown. He said, I really worried about her going up there, and she's very conservative, that they might sway her. The first year they came kind of close. She goes into her senior year, is in her senior year now, and the members of the young GOP on campus were asking her to be president of their club. So she's kept her values. But the pressure continues. Back to North Carolina Congresswoman Virginia Fox. She did ask one question of each of these principals of Harvard, MIT, University of Pennsylvania, a question which got a direct answer, whereas Congresswoman Stefanik didn't. Here's a question and answer.
So I want to ask each one of you, President Gay, do you believe that Israel has a right to exist as a Jewish nation?
I agree that the state of Israel has the right to exist.
Ms. McGill, same question.
I agree, Chairwoman Fox, the state of Israel has the right to exist.
Dr. Kornbluth.
Absolutely. Israel has the right to exist.
But they won't enforce it and protect those students, will they? Not by their remarks the other day. Now, to hold their jobs, keep them, they'll come up with some new answers. We also have battles and confusion over acceptance of anti-Semitism in Congress. as Abby Phillips of CNNN pointed out to New York Democrat Congressman Bowman.
One of the issues at hand here is this phrase, from the river to the sea, right? This is something that was spoken by your colleague, Rashida Tlaib. It's something that is chanted on some of these college campuses. That is a phrase that Jewish people believe is a call for the genocide of Jewish people. Do you think that that should be something that is off limits in the halls of Congress and on college campuses?
It is not a phrase that I use. It is not something I subscribe to. And it is something that absolutely needs to be addressed.
Do you think it is a call for genocide?
It's not a phrase I use because I know many of my Jewish brothers and sisters believe that it is. So I don't want to encroach upon what they feel that is. And I don't even use the phrase.
So there's Congressman Bowman saying, I don't use it, and I know some of my colleagues would consider it is, so I don't want to encroach upon what their view is. Congressman Bowman, and I point this out only because it's germane to the story of trying to decide if you're going to accept something or not, is black. So do you think if a question were raised of one of his colleagues, do you think it's a good idea to start referring to Bowman as the N-word? And they said, well, I don't use it, but if it would offend him, I probably wouldn't. Would you not think he'd be absolutely up in their face, say, how dare you be so tepid in your response and not make a declarative statement that I will not use that word, especially to the congressman? That was a question being posed by CNN News Nightly anchor Abby Phillips to Congressman Bowman. And in that same interview segment, she moved to expand that, and Bowman looks to make it bigger than an issue involving just Jews. Hear how he does it.
We can't deal with anti-Semitism in and of itself without also addressing the issue of Islamophobia. Many of my Muslim and Arab and Palestinian constituents and people all across the city, state, and country feel completely erased and dehumanized, not only by the Republican Party, but by many members of Congress. And we got to stop having one side of the conversation without the other, because what happens is it continues to exacerbate anti-Semitism.
I just want to respond to that for a second. From the river to the sea is anti-Semitic, period. You sound like the college administrators the other day in the hearing trying to put context around it. Mm-hmm. There's no context for it. Calling for the eradication of the Jewish people is a genocide.
That's a response of New York Congressman Mike Lawler, Republican, telling Congressman Bowman, you sound just like those professors did. You will not be factual and accurate. You're wishy-washy. You're not sure which way the sand is going, and you're still trying to find your footing. And he's exactly right. He wants to take genocide and calls for death to Jews. Oh, you can't forget the Islamophobia that exists. No one said you forget that. I stand against that just as firmly as I do the other. I do. He won't. Abby had another question for Bowman.
Do you believe, as some of your colleagues have said, what Israel is doing in Gaza is a genocide?
It is a mass murder. It is a war crime. What is happening in Gaza right now? You talk about Hamas having control over the Palestinians in Gaza. There has been a blockade of Gaza for several years. The people in Gaza cannot leave one way or the other. The water, the food, the energy is controlled by Israel. So do not say one side of it, Hamas is controlling its own people. And I agree with you, the people of Gaza do not want that, without leaving out the Israel blockade.
The blockade is there to prevent what happened October 7th. And Hamas is a group that will not let the Palestinians leave. Israel is accepting Gaza citizens to come work during the day. They come to the cross the border, check in for their work, make their money, and go back home. once again, stupidity reigns. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.